Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Today is June 29th, 2015, and this is episode 90. Yeah, we're almost at the century mark. I'm your host, Chad King, and with me tonight, wooing there from an area somewhat near San Francisco, is one Ben Lee. Ben, how you doing tonight?
I am the ghost of injured Angel Pagan's past.
I am his hammy.
I was gonna say this is the sound of the end of a June. If we have any exorcists out there, you've done a good job because we've kind of held the ghosts of previous Junes at bay a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it hasn't been as bad as I was one just kind of gut reaction right when June started, especially because May ended with a couple losses in a row.
You promised to type June Swoon on the Twitter account until they hit 500 for the month, so.
And it could be tomorrow.
I don't even remember if you carried through with it. No, you wouldn't have because
I was going to do hashtag June Swoon for every day the Giants were under 500 for the month. Now, no, I have not followed up on that.
Because, yeah, you've been busy. It's all right.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But I've been able to tweet every day. It's more of the fact of the negative reactions I got from our listeners. It was like, well.
I was willing to say it's because you're busy being a playoff coach yourself.
Yes.
So.
Yes, yes. And I told my girls, hey, this is June. Don't effing swoon, okay? I'm just saying.
I hope you didn't say exactly that or
no,
a lot of parents.
No, I said don't play poorly or I'll bench you. That's pretty much. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say
that's
that.
That's a
either.
Standard coach threat,
yeah,
right?
Totally standard.
I'm sure Bochy says that on a regular basis with more swearing.
Body language.
So, I mean,
what?
Well, I can't believe you didn't slide at home and what are you doing?
I'm going to need you to show a little bit more hustle out there.
You're 9 years old. You should know how to play this game right now.
You just start walking around just making Bochy noises. It's like no
you
idea
know
what
how
you're
big
doing
my hat is? Yeah, I could fit you in my whole hat.
That's not wrong with some of them, I'm sure.
No. Especially my own daughter and a couple other girls. They're pretty small.
Yeah, you can pretty much fit me inside of Bochy's hat, so... Bunch of 9-year-olds. It's all right. So
but yeah, yeah, they're 12 and 13 in June, which is you know, hey, look, they started the month with like 3 or 4 losses. Everybody was claiming June swoon, and I was doing it kind of, I wouldn't say sarcastically, just kind of like, oh, it's June swoon.
Tweet in June, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I look back and I even tweeted out that if you look at the last 5 seasons, there really is no June swoon. I mean, there's been a 1 or 2 years where we've actually been at 500 or above. And the June swoons, quote unquote, were only a few games under 500. They weren't that bad. I mean, it's
take away my catchy catchphrase.
I know. I think that's what everybody loves. They just love a catchy phrase, right? So
I just want to catchy catchphrase things.
It is
I
true.
I can't just yell the word yes over and over until Hunter Pence comes back or Daniel Bryan, who's also out injured.
That is true.
I like to imagine the two of them are off trying to like play Injustice together or something because that'd be awesome, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Justice with my kids, actually. They do like that game.
Nice.
So, that being said, the Giants, as our last podcast a week ago, were not doing so well at home. And we noted that they were going into a 6-game homestand against the Rockies and the Padres. And
it
ends up that they went 4-2 after losing the first game of both series. So I think that's a resounding success. I don't know how you interpret it any differently, except that they probably should have won that first game against the Padres and swept. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah, but you know, I mean, the Padres have sunk enough money into that team that I don't go into. It's like with the Dodgers, I don't go into any series expecting to sweep them, even though with the Dodgers case, they keep proving me wrong. with the pods, you know, there's enough talent on that team. I go into any given series expecting to lose one.
Yeah.
Hoping to lose one sometimes, depending on how the team is playing. Currently, I they're actually playing well enough. I leave it at expecting to lose one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's against the Rockies, though. I would have liked to take all three, but the Rockies did Rocky things and suddenly, like, blew up with a bazillion pieces of offense in one game. Yeah, but I mean, that's who the Rockies have always kind of been. It's just that the unexpected explosive offensive explosions that are offensive have been happening a lot less often in the last couple of years. Oh, yeah, Nolan Arenado is ridiculous. But
I said
like
Nelson. You
did. It's okay.
There not it that is. Nelson. Nolan.
That's Thank that you. Wasn't the soundbite.
Not
folks.
Owen
Chad
Nolan.
Did that with his
Nolan
face.
Arenado. Yeah.
Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado is a beast. He is an extremely talented third baseman, and he is the guy that, like, you know, in my dreams, I wish that Matt Duffy was that, and then wake up and go, I'm still pretty happy with Matt Duffy, so it's fine.
Pretty happy.
Oh, yeah. You know, but with that said, you know, this isn't like the early Todd Helton years when they would just suddenly go off like at the end of the season and just, you know, fire on all rockets and like take, you know, go from like 10 games back to like three games up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
This is a team that, you know, you should go into it expecting them to like Coors Field you at home once in a while. But for the most part, I was hoping that we were going to take all three. And even though that didn't happen. You know, honestly, I mean, with how we were playing at home for a while, just that raging period of doldrums, it was really nice.
10
this
out of 11
to see us.
Losses? Yeah.
Shh.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Don't remind me.
Don't
go to
wake
sleep, losing
the baby.
Streak. Go to sleep, losing streak. You know, going 4-2 on a homestand now, and not only going 4-2, but a pretty solid and impressive 4-2 with really solid work by Bumgarner and like just a hell of a week by Duffy and Posey and Panic, and you know, with a lot of supporting contribution as well, which just because looked good up and down the team. But yeah, it just that I'll take 4-2 and looking like there's some life again at home. Like, you go into any given series thinking one thing, but you can always have a justification for anything else. I mean, this team is really banged up. You know, there's, like, everybody's...
Missing two out of three outfielders. Yeah, you know, things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Missing two out of three outfielders. And, like, I mean, you know, like, half the pitching staff is in some state of disarray. Some freshly disarrayed and some about to come back from disarray. So, I mean, we're a team that's... We're limping a little bit. And even limping along a little bit, we went 4-2 against division opponents... Which is, and we're still one game back of the Dodgers, which
I don't know. Sucks
when you're doing a lot better than you have been, and you're still a game back. You're just like, stop keeping pace with me.
So many of these years, it just seems like the Giants are just like a, you know, analogy for like a rave where you go in with high expectations, you take a little something, suddenly you don't know what the hell is going on, you get lost, you're getting beat up, you're getting mosh pit. And then suddenly you get out the other side. You don't know how to get home, but you get home somehow. And you're like, it was the perseverance of this team.
I strangely had fun most of this time, and I'm not sure how. You and my friends may be going to slightly different raves, sir, but I get where your analogy is going with this.
It's like it should not have worked out.
Chaos.
We should not have gotten home safely, but it worked out. And that's I don't know why. But the Giants, you know, most of these years seem to just fight through these, you know, periods of adversity, especially with the injuries and the pitching rotation, everything else. And right now they find themselves still only one game out of first place and securely in the wild card hunt.
Missing like half the team.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
Year, we've had half the team missing years. This is a third of the team missing year. I'll call it what it is.
You tell me in spring training, okay, you know, Jake Peavy's out. Matt Cain's out.
Right.
Angel Pagan's going to be out for some of the year. Matt Maybe. Duffy's going to be your starter because McGee takes a McShit. And
just Matt Duffy is your starting third baseman.
Yeah, that's enough, right?
Alone is like Mark.
You know, Susek's going to be up.
Nori Aoki is signed and then out.
Yeah,
Hunter Pence
Aoki
is out.
Breaks his ankle.
Tim
Hunter
Lincecum
Pence is going to be out for most of the year. Lincecum starts great, but then bombs like he normally does.
Right. Tim Hudson is for the most part pitching like we
old man syndrome.
Hudson,
yeah,
not like we hoped Hudson would. Although
just,
you know, he has his moments, but
you just
so
say everything like that, and
are.
You just go, "Oh my God, they're going to be
God,
10 games out
terrible.
By July 1st."
Ah.
And we're just sitting here going, "They're
by
one
the way,
game
Buster,
out. They're one
right,
game out."
Way, Buster Posey has had like one of the best months of his career.
Yes,
oh,
and we'll get to that later.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, right now. Let's get to it right now. Yeah. So Posey,
yeah.
Posey, So far, they have one game left, of course, in June. He has 26 runs batted in this month of June. That's second in all of Major League Baseball, not just the National League, all of Major League Baseball.
Second to what, Giancarlo Stanton, I think?
No, I said Nelson Arenado.
Oh, Nolan Arenado, right. So Nelson Arenado, good
job.
Yeah,
Nelson Arenado.
Nolan Arenado, you're okay.
Yeah, of course, he was
anybody didn't know about, like, secret, you know, I don't know who, secret, like, Nationals prospects, Nelson Arenado. I should point out that Nolan Arenado's younger brother is also somewhere in a system somewhere, and I no longer remember what his name is or where, so we'll continue on while I look that up.
But you know, what's been incredible about him is that you look at the stats and you go, ah, whatever, Colorado inflated stats, we all know what it is.
He's in our system.
Batting average. And then you're like, oh, you look at his splits. He's hit more home runs on the road than at home. And, of course, that was proven this weekend. He hit four. Four against the Giants in a three-game series. And he was, of course, NL Player of the Week with seven bombs in six games. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Dude is on fire. So he's got, what, 24?
Dude is hot fire. What I mentioned about his brother, yeah. like an idiot, Jonah Arenado is in the Giants developmental system.
Mm.
Good job, us. So when you can't draft Nolan, you do the next best thing, and you just draft Jonah and
we'll
see what happens.
We'll get the clone, the weaker clone. We'll just you know, see what happens.
Good on them. Hey, they're converting him to they were supposedly at one point, like last year, they were thinking about converting him to a corner infielder, so we'll see what happens with that.
Third base,
he's like 6 foot four.
Oh, so. 6'4", third baseman. I'm not sure about that. Seems a little
I don't know. Depends if he's lengthy. Athletic enough to get low, then go for it.
That's a big thing. Otherwise, tall guys getting low.
If you're athletic enough to get low, then you've got the range.
Get low. Get low. Posey with 26 RBIs in June.
Who thought it would be Chad that goes ahead and quotes Flo Rida?
Sorry. I couldn't help it.
That one, I don't even know if that one.
What really helped his 26 ribbies this month, of course, is he had two grand slams in a span of 5 days. So that's, you know, eight of his 26 RBIs on two
third
swings.
Third and fourth of his regular season career, I believe.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And now that propels him to sixth in the National League in RBI now, which is pretty incredible. And, you know, I still see Twitter chat boards and other things that call out that, oh, he's your number four hitter. He only has 11 home runs. You know, Giancarlo is 27 and Arenado is 24.
Sure,
and
all you want out of a
Todd Frazier is 24. And it's like, right, if Posey played in those parks, I'm sure he would have at least 20. I mean, we've seen,
certainly over 15.
Over 15. Because there's been many, many hits this year so far in AT&T Park that have been ground rule doubles off the wall or caught in Triples Alley or center field that would have been out in any of his other said ballparks. Not to mention the atmospheric conditions when it's a night game with the fog coming in, you know, those kinds of things. But
yeah, good luck.
You know, it doesn't affect
his
batting average.
That's why it's good that Posey's a catcher. It makes him look really good on the other side.
Well, yeah, and it's really interesting to look at his splits when he's, you know, his first base sample size is actually pretty large now for the last, you know, several years, and it's significantly higher than when he's at catcher. And I know I don't want to revisit this necessarily, but at the same time, you want to talk about this later with Susak, but he has it just seems when his knees are rested, there really is a positive result in terms of his production. Expected. I mean, who's going to say, no, I think if you squat all day and your knees hurt, you're going to hit better. Of course not.
Well, I mean, let's go ahead and mention that now, because that's the thing that's happening. We're about to see the era of starting catcher Andrew Susak, which I think is kind of is interesting. Susak's had a couple of big hits for the team, even though he doesn't get into that many games since, we weren't a team previously that would go to its backup catcher that often. And instead, you're going to see, at least for a little while, until one of our outfielders heals up. So probably, very possibly, depending on how Aoki's leg does, possibly through the All-Star break, you're going to be seeing starting catcher Andrew Susak, starting first baseman Buster Posey, and starting left fielder Brandon Belt. Of the awkward baby giraffe.
Yep.
I couldn't be more excited. Belt, actually, I mean, you know, Belt, he's athletic enough and he's smart enough that he can make it work out there. And he'll only look, it's a little bit like watching Travis Ishikawa out there. He's probably only going to look like a first baseman, like, every so often.
Yeah,
as opposed to just looking like a first baseman
thrown in left field. It's not a whole game. It's maybe one fly ball every few games. It's not It's not that often, and I don't think
it's not a massive defensive downgrade.
No, it's not massive. I mean,
shifting from Aoki to Belt, yeah, that's kind of significant. Like Blanco to Belt, that would be pretty damn significant. But Blanco is basically a center fielder that goes anywhere.
Yes, so. I agree. I mean, he's going to catch 98% of what any normal left fielder would catch. It's really it comes down to not the routine or even the moderately hard fly balls. It really comes down to the spectacular catches that might save a run or two a game. That's what they cannot get, and it doesn't happen that often. So it's a concession that Bochy and the Giants are willing to make, and I'm totally fine with it.
It's,
especially since
it's still better
a bat like Belt can make up for someone else in left field. So
Yeah, and I mean, you know, other than Aoki, who had, you know, was just on a ridiculous tear before he got hurt, it, you know, Belt, honestly, as a bat, is better there than almost any of the other options we have right now. Because, you know, right now what you're looking at, the other thing that this does, obviously, deciding to move Belt on a, you know, semi-permanent basis to left field for now means that you've got Belt in left. And then that actually gives you the opportunity to be able to rest Pagan on occasion. Because otherwise, you know, you were looking at an outfield of Angel Pagan, Gregor Blanco, Justin Maxwell, the end.
Yeah.
And so you had almost zero room except for like break glass in case of left-handed first baseman. So deciding to give Belt the time to consistently work out there and pushing him into that starting role also means that now Justin Maxwell goes back to being your fourth outfielder. And if you've looked at his batting lines lately, that's not a bad thing, even though he can come through every so often.
Right. Oh, I
so... Yeah, it seems like a good move. You're taking a bat that's working right now. You're taking a bat that works well, and you're putting him in a position that he has played before, even if not much recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the comfort level isn't the same as when he's at first, but he's not completely lost out there either.
No, not at all. I mean, can you point to one single game this year where Brandon Belt or Ishikawa, well, he just came up anyway, so I guess that's a moot point, has cost us a game by playing left field? No, of course not. It hasn't happened
yet.
Yeah,
but they've barely done it yet.
Exactly. So, it's barely happened, so.
Well, out of the four games that he's played there, yeah, no, he's been fine.
They're 3-1 and not his fault. Yeah, I know.
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, you can't look at that and say, well, it's because of this one thing. You know, I mean, Ishikawa had an error out there last year during the playoffs. And
they
so
lost the World Series. Wait. No,
oh,
didn't.
Right. Funny.
It's amazing how that happens.
Crossed into a parallel dimension just for a second. They were back.
Zip. Whoa. I know. I suddenly have Royals gear all up in my office. What's going on?
Yeah, it was real weird. Up was down and left was right. And, you know, it was a Hall of Famer, Shea Hill, and was waving, and it was weird.
Speaking of the Royals, obviously, this year has been very interesting in terms of the All-Star voting. And as of...
We're just prone to causing lots of laughing.
It is, and this is what I want to talk about, because I think most people have a visceral reaction that is understandable, but when you really think about the forest for the trees, is it necessarily a bad thing if you look at the potential outcome 2, 3, 4 years from now? And what I'm referring to is the fact that the Royals fans, through normal means or legitimate means or nefarious means,
you know,
we don't know, whatever.
Through the same system that everyone else is subject to when voting for the All-Star game.
Exactly. And I'm not going to assume that they're, you know, hacking into systems or whatever. I don't care.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. They are, of course, you know, 3 weeks ago had 8 of the 9 starters in the All-Star game. And I say 9 because, of course,
good luck convincing anybody that Mike Trout didn't belong in the All-Star game. So he was the only one that was in there.
He was the only one that kind of surfaced, right? And then last week, Miguel Cabrera, after they invalidated 60 million votes, surfaced as the first baseman. So they are down to 7. Now, this week, it was just released today. They are down to 5 All-Star starters. Now, I think they only have 2 weeks left, right? July 10th is, I think, when they stop. So my question is, so right now, 5 Royals out of the 10 are slated to start the All-Star game. Do you want more or less? And the reason I ask this question is, okay, if you have 7 or 8 Royals starters, clearly Major League Baseball is going to revamp something. It's going to be embarrassment to the system if it's going to be the Royals versus the National League All-Stars. Now, that being said, do you just want to crush it now and just either through vote removal, which I don't agree with. I think I'm with you, Ben.
Vote removal if they're invalidated, but that's different. You know, invalid, like,
and that's different.
All,
right. Because
like,
if the Royals fans,
because
granted, if they're bandwagon or not, I don't care. I don't give a crap because, you know, the Giants have had so much.
They're going to mobilize like that. Good for them.
Good for them. Exactly. And that's the point.
We,
it's that
we nearly put, you know, like we nearly put Freddie Sanchez into the All-Star game 1 year.
Yes.
And he was injured the entire year.
Yes, absolutely.
We know how this goes.
Very close to doing the very same thing. And, you know, if you have Infante, their second baseman, who's still leading.
Well, yeah, that hurts, but that's what it is.
He's still leading the second baseman. He literally is the not the worst performing second baseman in the American League. Not the worst second baseman in Major League Baseball. He is the worst offensive player in all of qualified Major League Baseball players. He is the antichrist of an all-star, okay? And that's fine because the Royals fans know this. They don't think, oh, he's a great player. They're thinking, we're just going to make a mockery of the system. We're going to take advantage of this. And so if he actually ends up starting, I think Major League Baseball is going to step in at some point, either next year or the year after, and do some sort of like – they're not going to eliminate the fans. I don't think that would ever happen. But I do think that, you know, because right now the players and coaches can vote for the reserves, right, and other positions. The starters are defined by the fans. I do think that they're going to make a hybrid of that approach for the starters. I think they're going to say, okay, well, starters are 50% fans, 50% players and coaches, or something like that.
Maybe.
Do you think something like that might happen if someone like Infante or if Seven Royals start? I mean, that's...
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to... Like, we've had some really weird all-star picks come up before in the first place, and it's hard to know what exactly anybody's going to do to try and... Like,
well,
I mean...
Well, yeah, you've had your Derek Jeters and others like that who always start, but they're like, okay, well, he's hitting 270. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
He's not the worst guy. He's like an average major
baseball
player. He's
not hit like 237.
Yeah.
Like 237 with all
I don't
of
think,
like 57
hits.
I mean,
in my research, there's never been a starter who's literally been the worst offensive player in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's never happened.
And if we're going by wins above replacement, yeah, literally out of anybody who has 60 or more games, there is no one. Actually, well, there is one person who's worse, and it's Stephen Drew. But he's, yeah, besides that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, this is sort of the system that was designed, so it does fall a bit under the this is your bed and now you have to lie in it kind of category. But
yeah,
it's like,
I agree with that.
You figured that somebody is going to make sure somewhere that like one out of, or like two, maybe two even, especially if Omar Infante does end up starting the game somehow, which, you know, we're going to laugh about it a ton. And people are going to try and use it to invalidate the All-Star game, but it's an All-Star game. It should have been invalidated a long time ago, and
yes,
it shouldn't count for home field advantage.
I agree.
With that said, if your fans are like the All-Star game, because there is a fan vote, is not about who is the best players, although that is how we use it, and that is often how people will, you know, will consider that the vote. It's a fan vote. It's a popularity vote. That's what it's supposed to be, at least for the starters. So if your fans are the ones that can mobilize enough people to make this happen, then your fans are the ones that can mobilize enough people to make this happen.
Yeah, Ned Yost, you know, was interviewed about this, and he's like, I have no problem with this. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm managing the team, and I love my guys to be starting. And
yeah,
no, I don't think Infante is deserving. But at the same time, if you have a problem with it, get out and vote.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. If you are upset that Omar Infante is currently first in the running for a starting second baseman in the All-Star game, batting 237 with a WAR of 0.4, then you are not doing your job.
Yep.
Then you and the people around you are not doing their jobs. Someone in Kansas City is campaigning amongst Royals fans to put Omar Infante into the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah,
and that's where it is. That's what a fan vote is.
If their citizens are creating 20 fake emails per person and voting 35 times max per email account, that is within the system's
as it stands
parameters.
Sure.
There's nothing illegal about that. I mean, as long as there's no bots or hacking or anything like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could change it so you need an MLB.com account, but you can create more than one of those.
Yep.
You can change it so there's some kind of verification needed, but then maybe we're overstating the importance of the All-Star game. I mean, the fact that we remove paper ballots, like, that only takes us so far. But yep. Paper ballots being gone means that the extra, like, you know, 50 votes that you can put in by just doing paper ballots in addition to your email votes, how is that any different from somebody creating two or three different email addresses? Nobody knows who you are. This side of anonymity to punching out the paper ballots, you know. But yeah. I mean, you know, there somebody, whether it's the players who take it a bit more seriously than the fans do because they don't have a geographic tie that is uneven because they're all from different teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make sure that one of Jason Kipnis, Logan Forsyth, Ian Kinsler, Jose Altuve, like a couple of those guys will get into the game. Not only will they get into the game, but they will probably get into the game early on. I don't think that given that the Royals aren't terrible and that the – well,
right.
I guess the thing I would put it at is now that it quote-unquote matters, quote-unquote matters I don't see any reason that Ned Yost doesn't swap to somebody who is better.
I totally agree with that. I was thinking about that. I actually had a dream about that, to be honest.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that last part. But, you know, when you're 5.5 games ahead of the next closest person in your division and the next closest team in your division is Minnesota, you don't, like, you're worried about who might.
And
I mean, that Kansas City team actually should be worried about who might get home field advantage because there's a chance that it might need to be them.
Yeah, and... You know, when I was thinking about Ned Yost, I literally did. I know it sounds silly, but I had a dream. You know, we all have dreams about silly things, about, you know, things that happen in school or work or whatever. I'm just laying it all out on the table. I had one dream one night. It was like 4 or 5 nights ago where I was thinking about Ned Yost. And I was like, how could he possibly start these guys? Couldn't he, like, you know, take them out and... Because it doesn't,
sure he can.
It doesn't benefit him because he's trying to secure home field advantage. Blah 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 blah, like you just said. And then when I had my dream, Ned Yost said, "Okay, fine, I'm going to honor what our fans voted for, and I'm going to let everyone have at least one AB. But after one AB, Infante's out. This guy's out. This guy's out." And then he's putting in the best players he can because he is trying to secure home field advantage for potentially his team, which he had last year.
And frankly, I mean, the way that the Giants are playing right now, Bochy's probably going to want to think about that himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a team full of cockroaches behind him still. And I mean, it's a team that is in the running for the wild card for sure, if not for the West Division, which they're also in the running for more so than anyone else in the division. So I mean, you know, both managers are going to be thinking about, like, hey, you know, my team's not, like, this isn't a Bochy year where he goes into the All-Star game as the, you know, the manager of the defending champs again, which, by the way, that's really nice.
I know, so nice. I know.
It's pretty great. But this time he's not going in this time going, well, this season's already tanking, so this is stupid. You know, well, I've already lost my star catcher.
Right.
Well, I've already lost my, like, spark plug center fielder. He's going into this one going, we're contenders this time. I actually might have to worry about this.
Yeah, he's not like, you know, Boston's manager.
Right.
They had won last year.
Going, right.
But, oh, we're in position to win. No, we're not.
Oh, I'm snickering a little bit.
I know.
But
right.
it's like this time, you know, you can't, like, it's really weird looking at it going, Ned Yost goes into this game thinking, okay, on the one hand, like, my directive is start Omar Infante. That's fine. And on the one hand, I know my fans back home are going to want to see Omar play at least a bit. But at the same time, like, I have to imagine that they'll understand if after the third inning, you know, assuming that we barely have any offense and after the third inning he gets his first at bat, like, okay, the hell with this, I'm going to Jason Kipnis. Who, by the way, the leading person in all of the AL in WAR through Baseball Reference is a second baseman.
Yes.
Jason Kipnis.
Now, he's been on fire. He is absolutely not Altuve. Exactly.
No. Kipnis. No, although, I mean, Altuve is good, and
he's great.
Over Infante in a heartbeat because he is fast and can steal bases. But
yeah.
And he might make it in, but I mean,
you might not see him because he's Kipnis so short.
Or Kinsler or Logan Forsythe, they've got to get in there somehow. And it's almost like somebody's got to vote in Kipnis. He is so good right now.
Yeah,
he's got a higher WAR than Mike Trout. He's the only person with a higher WAR than Mike Trout.
So I think that is actually, you know, what, 2 weeks from today is when the voting closes, right? So
It's pretty close. It might even be a week. I'm not sure which.
Might even be a week.
It's getting pretty close. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't done your voting yet, nobody on the Giants is up except for Buster Posey. You have a chance of moving up Nori Aoki.
You know, Aoki is fourth right now. He had secured third a couple of weeks ago. But now with him being on the DL, he kind of drops in the perception of America. And I think that's the issue. If he hadn't gone on the DL, I think he would have had a fighting chance.
Fighting chance, at least, but you know,
but not now.
If nothing else, Captain America can go in there, so it's our responsibility as San Franciscans to ensure that Buster Posey cannot be caught up to by the talented but otherwise subpar Yadier Molina.
Well, I mean, how awesome in an alternate universe would it have been if the Royals could have voted in like 7 or 8 of their starters, and the Giants could have voted in 7 or 8 of their starters, and it could have just been a rematch.
Even Nori Aoki would have been there again.
Aoki would have been there again, playing for the other side. I mean,
well, he could have had a Jeff Samardzija where, you know, he honestly, shows up as an all-star on the other team because he gets traded right before, like, days beforehand.
It could have been, like, just such a freaking video game kind of scenario.
It would have been weird, but I feel like I at that point, I would have been like, I'm loving this, and I hate it at the same time. Like, what is happening?
Oh, hell yes. Oh, yeah. And that's exactly my point about the Royals right now. It's like, well, of course, as a fan, I don't want to see 6, 7, or 8 Royals starting. But at the same time, if that's what it takes to destroy the current mechanism, then yes, I'm for it. So
if we have to sit here and just wait for chaos to reign and, like, you know, dogs and cats living together in order to make sure that somebody actually looks at the All-Star game and goes, maybe we should unbreak this thing.
And on top of that, fine. We're Giants fans, so we want the NL to win this game. So, you know, in a certain way, wouldn't we want the best of the NL playing against the Kansas City Royals? I'm just saying.
Loaded up with Royals. It's fine. Yeah, Omar Infante at second. That'll be fine.
Exactly.
That'll be fine. That's We're going to go ahead and just slap Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Have fun with that.
I mean, obviously, everything can happen. But you know, in the long vision, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing for a National League fan. So, the big question. Timmy was hit on the forearm with a line drive, of course, in his last start. And his last, four starts, he's got like a 6.5 ERA. Everybody's pointing to how he's going south. We all think that he's going to be replaced by Kane and or Peavy. But he's probably, as Bochy said yesterday, going on the DL. Now, not only that, but Huddy was already assumed to go on the DL with his ankle thing. And, of course, he said when they asked him that question 2 days ago, he said, well, that's made by people who make decisions with a pay grade above me. So I think the writing is really on the wall, especially also with Affelt going on the DL with his left shoulder strain because he was tattooed the other day. With the almost comeback by the Rockies. And, of course, before that, there was another comeback by the Padres, by the way. That was very scary, which we won't talk about. I know. It was, 9-2? Got to 9-8 in one inning?
Just tattooed. It was very odd.
Yeah, it was very bad. I was watching that with my daughter, and I was saying things I should not say in front of my daughter. But
accurate. I think by now she has to understand the context when baseball is involved, especially now that she plays. The Padres are too talented to keep down, even though they're too terrible to stay up.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I look at it at this point, is anytime you play the Padres, you can stop them. They are stoppable, but there is a chance that if you don't, they will explode on you.
Yes.
That's kind of how I look at it. Like, it doesn't take that much to prevent, and at the same time, cool, here they are, you know.
So what do you think? I mean, with assumedly, we don't know this for sure because it's not final. if Timmy goes on the DL and Huddy goes on the DL, that opens the door, of course, for Kane and Petey for their July 2nd and 3rd starts. That being said, Peavy himself has not exactly instilled any confidence in what he can do in the major leagues. And I've heard a lot of people going, well, his rehab starts when it was 110 degrees and he was working on this pitch.
Oh, sure. Well, you know,
he was doing that.
You never quite know what you've got back with somebody until they get up there. But the problem is when you've got a logjam like this, you have to pay attention to
it. Yeah, and I have no problem with him starting at least a couple, three times. But, you know, fact of the matter remains, he got blown up in his two starts in San Francisco before he went on the DL. Then
came back from the DL, got blown up again.
He had six starts
in AAA.
In AAA, and he had a 6.12 ERA with a 1.49 WHIP, and he was 0-3. So it's one of those things where, I mean, he was blown up his last start. He gave up like seven runs or whatever in three innings.
Yeah,
I understand their psychological situation in the sense of like they're just working on pitches. They're just thinking about I'm just trying to last this certain time. It's not the same game attitude.
I mean, yes and no. It's definitely not the same game attitude as being in the bigs when you know that you're on rehab and you're going to be going back. But
it's not confidence instilling. It's not.
No. Well, and I think PV knows as much as anybody else that there's a logjam and that, you know, as much as we laugh about how like half the rotation is decimated right now, like there's enough people coming back that it's going to make things real interesting real soon. And I have to imagine that PV knows that he has to go out there and at least look worth bringing back up.
Right.
Even if it's a guarantee he's going to come back up. You can't save your stuff until you get on the mound at AT&T Park. So, yeah, I wouldn't say that I think that PV necessarily is going to be as terrible as he is down there coming back up here, but I do feel like you got to short leash him for a bit. Not only is he coming back from being injured, but also you've had him on rehab for a while. It's been a while since he's been back in a major league game, but also he's been kind of terrible.
Yeah. And with Timmy now with his contusion, Huddy with his assumed ankle injury, which he said, you know, whatever, decisions made by guys with the pay grade above me, I think it's pretty obvious that both of them are not going to be significantly hurt. They're not going to be out for extended periods of time. No. So
you use Timmy's DL as a time to figure out whether PV still got it, and then when the DL's up, you don't even send him for a rehab start unless you're desperate for one more chance, like piece of time. I mean, Tim's never actually been on the DL before. He's been hurt. But I don't think he's actually ever been on the DL in his entire career yet.
So what do you do with Timmy and or Huddy when, you know, it's 15 days, right? So it's like three starts at max.
Well, I mean, it's 15 days and then you can start using them. I know, you know, Lincecum is now like 1 or 2 days removed already. So based on the last day he played, we're down to probably like 12 or 13. I think what you do is, especially if we're in a position to bring back PV, you give PV the start. You see how PV's doing, and you maybe have Lincecum go one start in rehab again, you know, for Sacramento, and see if he's kind of can put some of his stuff together after a little bit of time off to work on some things and, you know, heal up and what have you. And if Lincecum, you know, like just is the conquering destroyer in Sacramento and PV just doesn't look so good, you start considering, even though it's only one start, you consider what do you have to do to ensure that the team's going to do well.
Yeah.
Do I think they'd make the decision that quickly? No. I think that knowing this team and the way that they've been doing things lately, you probably run out the wire with Lincecum, and you maybe try and hold on to PV through the All-Star break, let Lincecum do maybe two rehab starts with Sacramento, see how he's doing, and then kind of go, okay, well, clock's ticking. We have some time left. Do we lean one way or do we lean the other, even if we're not ready to make a decision yet? Like you have to take the first like couple of starts PV makes back into account, because there are at least two to three guys underneath him that also can start at the major league level in the system right now.
Yeah, I just wonder, because both of them are in their last year of their contracts, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think PV might have one more year. I don't remember what.
Well, I thought he signed a two-year last year, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he signed another two-year.
No, because he came in at the end of the year last year.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe he has one more year.
So I think he might have one more year. This is Tim Blatt. This is a contract year for Tim, though.
Definitely, definitely.
Right.
So do you think that has any, you know, motivation on the Giants? I mean, I'm not saying that they should trade him because I don't think a lot of suitors would want Tim Lincecum with his current stats. But at the same time,
you do also have the option of once Tim's doing better, if Affeldt's still on the DL, Tim takes that spot and you send Mike Broadway back down.
That's true.
I mean, Mike Broadway, because we've used an option of his already this year, is now a designated Sacramento bus guy.
Yeah.
Like,
and we talked about this last episode with, you know, Timmy, he has, you know, he has experience in the bullpen, so maybe he's going to stay there.
He has the potential to be a super reliever. Is he going to do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he has the potential to, in short starts with less thinking and with a little less warm-up. He's done really well in the past, but this is like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is a different Timmy. So I don't know. I think that logically, if you decide that you need to bring Timmy back up, especially if he does really well in a couple starts in SAC, I think you check and see how Affeldt's doing. Affeldt possibly has his own rehab starts, which he's much more familiar with than Tim is. Let's face it. Like, I mean, Affeldt breaks himself like once a year in the weirdest ways. You don't want Affeldt to be gone too long, but if it does look like he's going to be gone a little longer, if there is even the slightest setback with him, whatever it is that's going on with him right now, whether it's just, you know, like fatigue or dead arm or just off or whatever, you send Mike Broadway back down unless he just completely just marauds everything. And you
no, you know, it was weird to see him give up those bombs and those doubles in his last relief appearance.
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly he had an issue going on, so. That's why.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there's something up with him, and whether it's between the ears or whether it's on the arm, there's always something up with everybody. You can put him on the DL without much trouble. But I think the thing is, if you bring Tim back up and you have him in the bullpen, you're lighting a fire under Peavy's ass. Essentially, you're saying, "Look, we got the guy right here. It's not like we can't just say, well, hey, Timmy, you're starting in 2 days, so we're not going to start you today, and just go, well, here you go." And you know, so I mean, it's knowing that he's in the system. And knowing that they're making moves around could do it, or maybe PV's just, I mean, I've never really seen PV as the type to not have a fire lit under his ass most of the time anyway.
Right.
So it's kind of like you're kind of just figuring out what you have with him at this point. I mean, I don't even think that you're really doing anything to try and like push PV into extra motivation. I mean, the guy, he's not Vogelsong, but I mean, he's not like, you know, mid-year Pablo Sandoval either. Like, the dude is going to go out there and he's going to, God bless it, as somebody hits the mound. And he's going to, you know, like, he's going to give you whatever he's got. It's just the question is, what's he got?
Did you see that ball that he swung at tonight?
No.
Oh.
Oh, the one that Pablo swung at? That was it was 5 feet, 1 inch off the ground, which is the highest pitch anybody's tried to hit since, like, 2011.
Yeah. And he grounded out.
And he grounded out. He got his bat so high over a pitch as it went up that he managed to hit it down.
That's what's insane.
That's Pablo Sandoval. Like, he's the only guy who could make grounding out weekly really impressive because he had to go up the ladder 5 feet to get it.
Just crazy.
I don't understand sometimes. But, you know, now Boston gets to quietly laugh at themselves sarcastically about it, and that's okay because it's still entertaining even if he's on another team.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Yep. Next you realize he's going to golf one that's about 2 inches off the ground into the seats, and we're all going to laugh, or over the monster. We're all going to laugh.
Oh, right. Yeah. You can tweet from your poop house. It's okay.
That happens. Very well.
Anyway, we'll move on.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Before we hit our picks for the night. So, All-Star Game, the one pick for the All-Star Game that the fans cannot influence, starting pitcher. What do you think? I think personally,
you got to go with Scherzer.
It's got to be Scherzer.
Yeah, National League.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, American League, I'm not so sure.
I know. As much as I want it to be Sonny Gray, I don't think it's going to be Sonny Gray.
Right.
And I don't think that the wins are going to seal it for King Felix either, because he just hasn't been as good. He hasn't been up to his usual King Felix form in any other area.
I agree.
I want to lean Dallas Keuchel, but I'm actually going to lean Chris Archer, I think.
No, Archer's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
And
so is
it's a tough one. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, every year there's there was always a mild controversy in terms of who starts. But I think, you know, if I were Bochy, of course, he has to pick the starter. It's pretty obvious.
Well, I don't know if he's picking that starter if the players vote on. I don't recall that one, but I think it's, you know.
I thought the manager picks the starter. I could be wrong.
The manager gets a really limited number of picks towards the back end, I think.
Right, but I thought he does have a pretty good influence on who starts, but I could be wrong about that.
Well, and, you know, it's going to depend on who comes off of the start right before as well. So, I mean, if Scherzer pitches on Sunday, then he's probably not starting the All-Star game on Tuesday and so on. But
yeah, the dude's pitched like 3 no-hitters in a row. I mean,
right. I mean, like, in a vacuum, crazy. It's Max Scherzer. Yeah. Like, Zach Greinke stands on the outside wistfully looking in and probably sits in the bullpen until it's his turn. It's
well, Max and we were talking about Scherzer in the offseason, not realistically, of course, signing with the Giants. None of us thought it was serious, but looking at his stats now, we're like, oh, damn. And you would have been in a pitcher's park.
Yeah, I mean, the dude's got 2 different colors for eyes and less than 2 earned run average. So, I mean, just carry on. You do you.
Yeah, you do you.
Scherzer's awesome, and it would have been nice to have him, but it is really nice to see him just go over and just crusade and destroy and giggle at his batting with the Nationals.
Well, you knew that once he moved from the American League to the National League, his stats were going to drop. I mean, that's just expected if he, you know, all things being equal. But, you know, next year, Zach Greinke is a free agent. So what do you think about the Giants pursuing that? No matter what happens in the offseason.
My gut hates it, which means it's probably a good idea. Because Zach Greinke, Greinke paces Bumgarner in almost any given.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's outdone Kershaw this year by a ton.
Oh, yeah. Kershaw has had a good year. It's a good year.
Sure. But a good year for Kershaw. Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a great year for anybody else is like a lackluster year for Clayton Kershaw.
Exactly.
But, you know, Zach Greinke he's very good. And he's going to command – I would assume that he's going to be the guy that commands the most money on the market. And the Giants have a history of not going for those guys.
No, it's true.
Offers, but of backing – like shying away and going like, look, we can find somebody else. I don't think that we sign Greinke, but it's a nice pipe dream.
I think it's a pipe dream, but I also think about the even year, odd year thing, and the fact that Kane is coming back. I think that if he could come back strong, and then you got Bum, and then if they could sign someone like Greinke, you know,
consider like how much of an upgrade at like Kane being off. And, you know, getting older and having work done on his arm, everything. An off year for Kane is still an upgrade over the way that Hudson and Lindskog are pitching right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I
mean, Kane's going to be a shot in the arm almost any way as long as, knock on Andy Wood, that he stays intact, which, you know, hopefully it seems like he's making a lot of progress in that area. That's huge.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So on deck, the Giants have 3 in Miami coming up starting tomorrow night.
Including the return of Jose Fernandez. That should be terrifying.
Awesome. That is going to be Thursday. Awesome. It's going to be the return of Jose Fernandez after his Tommy John surgery. So,
and possibly the return of Matt Cain as well.
Exactly. I think right now, that's what the prediction is that it's going to be Matt Cain versus Jose Fernandez. And I mean, think about
all of the comebacks.
You have Matt Cain, who hasn't pitched since July 7th or 9th of last year. So roughly a year, right?
Roughly a year. You have
Jose Fernandez, same thing.
Roughly a year.
A little bit more. A little more. But not much. And that's pretty cool. I mean, I think I totally dig that.
I'm looking forward to that game, for sure. What better place to have Cain come back than in one of the only pitcher's parks in the NL East?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really wouldn't want Cain's first start to be in, like, Citibank or Citizens Bank Park or, like, you know, Great American. Like, his first start coming back is going to be at Marlins Park. And, you know, Like, hopefully we don't have a lot of reasons to set up the Dingers
in
machine.
Center field. Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that both of us immediately went. We hope they don't need to use the Dingers machine.
Yeah,
just immediately, like Dingers
just,
culture.
Just
go
immediately. I just had a friend that went there this week, and he was posting pictures, and he's like, "This isn't a bad park," and I'm like, "Except for that center field monstrosity." And he's like,
"Besides that, it looks great."
He's like, "Yeah. Of course. But the rest of the park's pretty nice."
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it one of these years. I just, you know, I'll hold my hand up where the Dingers machine is and take a photo of like Marlins Park without Dingers machine.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Photoshop that.
You know,
out.
It's any team that's got Giancarlo Stanton is dangerous, yeah. And we have
hurt now
already.
So,
yep. So we'll see. But yeah, Washington, I think I'm more worried about because that means facing Max Scherzer.
Yes, that's going to be the tough one. I mean, Miami, whatever. I mean, yeah, Jose Fernandez.
No,
we don't know what we're
going
to expect. But Washington is like, here we go.
Washington is doing their best to try and finally justify the amount of hype that ESPN places on them every year.
Every
and,
night.
You know, but they're
Bryce
trying
Harper,
hard to actually
Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper. Yep.
But Bryce Harper's earning it.
No, he is this year.
This year he's absolutely
the last 3 years?
Fine.
No. This year?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And so I'm curious to see how that turns out. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about it. We've been so good on the road that I'm hoping that translates. I would love to see us go 2-1 in that series. Two and one. It's a 3-game series. Ugh.
Well, I mean, all 3-3 for the 6-game trip is fine with me, to be honest. You know, because I'm expecting 2-1 in Miami, and 1-2 in Washington. That's my expectation.
Sure, but, and I would love to be wrong.
6-0. Here we go.
We're just gonna go
9-0. Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna go 7-0 in 6 games.
We're gonna create
wins. Buster Posey is going to hit so many runs.
Ethereal home run balls.
Exactly. We will win twice in one game because Buster Posey plus Matt Cain.
Yeah, it's like you Posey guys perform so well. You deserve 2 victories for this game.
Rob Manfred comes down from the top of the stadium in a crane. All right.
You won by 35 runs.
Let's pick some favorite people before we allow ourselves to talk anymore. So, because that seems dangerous. Who you got? Who you got this week?
Not going to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. But who have you got this week? Who's your favorite guy, Chad?
Look, I've picked this guy at least 3 or 4 times this year. But Duffy, man, the dude is just exploding all expectations of what he could do this year. Not only, you know, 4 months ago, we would have never thought that he would have been our starting third baseman. But the fact is, okay, he is. But he's outperforming Pablo in every statistical category. You know, we don't even have to mention Casey McGee because, you know, that's just not worth mentioning.
Which, he already leads the past. Yeah. Allow it to stay there.
Yeah. With his limited ABs, he already leads the MLB in grounded into double plays. But point being, he has just been spectacular this year. He's got 8 bombs. He's hitting 300. He's got tons of RBI. He's playing great defense. I think he's ranked 7th or 8th. In MLB in terms of defensive war, he has been way more than we could have imagined. And I think, you know, we interviewed him last year when he came up and he had like 3 games under his belt and he had like a double or triple to knock in an insurance run or whatever. And Willie and I approached him and tried to interview him because Gregor and Blanco was the hero for the night. And Duffy was like, "What? You want to interview me? What?" And we're like, "Yeah, you had a big double. You knocked in like an insurance run." "Oh, okay. Well, hold on a second." He like got his shirt on or whatever. We talked to him, and he was really, really happy to talk to us. And he just seemed like kind of a salt of the earth kind of guy. Not just because he was unknown then, but the fact of the matter was that, you know, Barry Bonds could have been in that situation and he would have been cocky, right? He was not. And it was very obvious to me. And as a reporter covering the game, I immediately decided that this guy is the real deal because he does not think of himself as God's gift to the earth. And I haven't, you know, written in blood, but I did think from that point that this guy, you know, talent, I don't know what it's going to be, but as far as his conviction, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
You liked Duffy early on as a makeup guy.
Absolutely. And it's been, it's not a surprise to me. It's not. So I'm very happy for Matt Duffy. He's been incredible so far.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with an old standby for favorite guy, but that's because he's really done a ton to put himself really back in the spotlight this month, and that is Buster Posey. I mean, you know, Buster Posey right now is tied for fifth in the league with Todd Frazier for RBI. Yeah. He's, you know, in WAR right now. I think he's actually 10th in the NL. So, I mean, like, as far as the NL goes, like, Posey really is pacing everybody because this month he has blown up. And he's been doing that while being explosions. He has spent most of this month catching. He hasn't been on first base for most of this month. And he's still really produced very, very well and continue to manage a team that is just, you know, hemorrhaging people. And, yeah, I mean, he's been outstanding. And, you know, like, so has Crawford, so has Duffy, and so have, you know, Belt even been pretty strong this month for the most part. But Posey has been outstanding and it's back to that very legitimate, like, every time Posey comes up, he is a threat. And it's any time that you get on that kind of cylinder, like feeling that, it's a good sign. So I'm going to go with Posey. Although I'm actually going to make our honorable mention for the week, his backup, Andrew Susak. Yes. Susak he's about to be a starting catcher for a defending, you know, National League or, you know, defending a World Series champ team. And he's already starting to carry himself pretty well. I mean, Susak is another guy that seems like a decent makeup guy from what little I know about him, which is mostly secondhand. But he's already starting to find his bat again. He's been through a slump, come out on the other side. He's starting to hit again. And that, you know, I'm not complaining. I feel like putting Susak in as a starting catcher for a little bit is actually a great opportunity for us to get to see what he's made of. And it's something that we thought might happen permanently in the future. So why not see how it goes for now? So, welcome to the show and welcome to Starterville. Population you, sir. I'm happy to see what Susak's got in the tank. And if it's anything along the lines of 288, 367, 463, like he's hitting right now, cool. Yep. Carry on with that.
Well, I was in the backyard, you know, pulling weeds when he was out with the bases loaded the other day. And, you know, three-run double. That's cool. Whatever. You know, it's all good.
Sure. Whatever. You know, take a starting spot, kid.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Why not?
What are you doing, man? You know, be a little less auspicious.
Right. Could you maybe like make this a little less difficult, possibly? You know, I really liked Hector Sanchez, and no, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
Okay.
Okay, let's hate on somebody. I just didn't have a lot of hate in my heart today, but I'll see if I can come up with somebody while you're telling us about yours. So who've you got?
All right. So we already talked about this, but I'm thinking Royals fans. But wait, maybe the All-Star selection process. I'm not sure. I mean, again, I don't have any hate for the Royals fans who are voting legitimately, who are not hacking the system, because that is the system that is put before us. And if everything or, you know, 99% of the voting is legitimate, that's great. I think it's fantastic. But at the same time, I do think that the Royals fans may or may not, depending on their view, be shooting themselves in their own foot.
Shooting themselves in their own food.
Their own food. They shoot their food. Because this may be the last chance they have to do this. But, you know, they have the bandwagon fans. They have the support behind them. So
they have the organization.
Yeah, it's not surprising because, you know, you strike while the iron is hot. So it's not like it's a mistake to do it now. But at the same time, it may change if they get 6 or 7 or 8 starters. It may change how the Major League Baseball chooses their all-stars, because aside from Royals fans, I don't think many Major League Baseball fans are going to want to see the National League All-Stars versus the Kansas City Royals. So,
and Mike Trapp.
Yeah, and Mike Trapp. Exactly.
I agree with that. I think that it's going to be a tipping point if it goes through as it is. And if everybody rallies together and gets some of the Royals out of first place, then maybe we look at this as a teaching moment for fandom and move on. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go ahead and I'm actually going to hate on Bob Costas. Yeah, I don't want to get into it too much because I don't want to spark a long conversation about either Bob Costas or about what he talked about. But he was very unfair to Pedro Strop after a poor outing. Strop walked off the mound and sort of pointed at the heavens. And, you know, Strop, being a religious man, is sort of the mind. And, you know, it's not... being that particularly myself, I'm not going to claim to be able to have the same perspective. But as far as what he believes in, he says, well, you know, I'm not going to walk off the mound and only thank God because I had a good game. I'm just going to do it all the time because that's my, you know, that's what I believe in. And Bob Costas kind of ripped him on the air. And really? So it was just, it was in poor taste. It was very mean-spirited. And I don't know. I don't usually mind Bob Costas per se. I've been a little bit over him as he's gotten older and as I've gotten older, I guess. But I'm a little bummed out about that. Like the apology was a non-apology. It was one of those, and just it really could have been handled better by everybody. So I'm not going to get too into it, but I am going to go ahead and hate on him this week.
I did not see that.
Yeah, it was a flash in the pan piece of news, but it did not end well for Bob Costas. Thanks, Internet.
Look, this is a Giants podcast. I don't want to get too political, but at the same time, you know, I have seen some very interesting remarks from some people, not Giants fans. I'm not calling you out. They're my fans, you know, and friends and other people that have been stating that, you know, the whole, you know, marriage decision that was made by the Supreme Court was controversial. And I still, you know, this is my opinion. This is not Ben's necessarily, or Willie's, or Eric's, or TortureCast, but at the same time, like, just get over it. Let people do what they want to do. It doesn't affect you. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a baseball game, right? Baseball game ends in a win or a loss. Is that going to affect your marriage? No. You know, to me, esoterically, it's the same thing. It's like if someone gets married, if you don't even know about it, for example, how does it affect you? You know, if you know about it, then it affects you. I mean, it's just one of those things that just astounds me that certain portions of, you know, our country are affected by that. But, you know what, I don't want to go into the details, but I'm just going to say congratulations to the United States of America for not being as bigoted as we have been in the past. And
I was going to say, for catching up to Canada 10 years later.
Well, it's funny because, you know, a lot of the
we're going to move to Canada.
Sentiments have said,
Hate to tell
That's
you,
it. I'm done. I'm moving to Canada. And it's like, did you know that gay marriage has been legal there since 2005? So, you know, again, it's education. It's knowing who you are, where you live, what's going on around you. It's just funny. You know, we're the, 21st or 22nd country that has legalized gay marriage.
21st, I think.
And as far as I know, none of the other countries have periled into hell and the sun still rises and everyone's still healthy for the most part. But that's just my layman's assumption.
We're a country that's always too big to fail. I guess we'll see if we're finally the tipping point.
Big, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
We need a little bit of sandboxing is what we do. That's if you listen to this podcast, it's not the first time we've talked about that issue. It probably won't be the last, but we won't harp on it. I will say that I am proud to be a fan of a team that had rainbow-colored Ks for Pride Night.
Yeah,
so
that was awesome.
I'm all right with that. With that said, besides the fact that this team has rainbow-colored Ks on the wall, why else will we win at all? I'm actually going to go with this. So we're limping a little bit. Pagan's literally limping, although not so much now. Blanco ran his knee into a wall, and we just talked about a laundry list of people who are injured and off the table right now.
Right.
And we went 4-for-2 for the week, which is one of our better home marks, and we're one game out of first. I mean, as we start getting people back, and it looks like we are going to start getting people back shortly, that can only get better, right?
That's exactly my point. We're 12-13 for the month of June, and we've only...
And we know how June goes.
Yeah, June swoon. Okay, at worst, we're going to be 12-14. If you call that a swoon, call it a swoon. But we could be 13-13 tomorrow night. We could be tied for first place tomorrow night. But the fact is, we are one game out right now. So just think of July. Just think of how awesome July is going to be. Because I'm going to be on vacation. So I'm going to, if I don't pay attention to the Giants, they're going to do well. So
right.
I'm just saying.
Like, I'm going to be gone for a while. So
Giants are going to be awesome in July.
Fine.
They're going to be so awesome. July explosions. Yeah.
July explosions. Wait, isn't that? No, there's a holiday about that.
Doesn't rhyme. I know.
Okay.
July belie.
July
losses.
No.
I don't
know.
No.
No.
No, it doesn't work.
Vetoed.
Vetoed.
All right. We'll leave it to the listeners. If you can come up with a good rhyme for July that's better than swoon.
We want to hear that. Yeah. What rhyme for July in a positive manner?
We haven't got to do a good tweet at me, bruh, in a while. Give us a good tweet to run with. Let's do it.
That'd be great.
Before we're out of here, because we'll be out of here in a minute. Chad, you wanted to mention something that you're going to be doing upcoming this week.
Yeah. So our rival, quote unquote, podcast, which is called Giants Pod, it still astounds me that besides us and Giants Pod, there's no other semi-regular.
We've got Giants there are podcast. More now than there used to be. There are more now than there used to be, and I'll grant him that. So I think we just haven't run across them the same way for the same reason that Giants podcasts tend to be kind of a niche thing. They're really specific.
They are very specific.
But yeah, keep your eye out. I think there are a couple more of them out there now.
Blind to them. Then
someone retweet them at us.
Yeah,
wait.
Tweet us. If you're out there and you have
them,
we'd love to have you on our show. We'll be on your show. It's all good. We're not into we must dominate.
Well, except with Danny and Thomas because
they're our anti-heroes. No, speaking of them, actually, Thomas has from Giants Pod, by the way, giantspod.net. He has his own radio show, believe it or not, in Santa Cruz, KSCO.com. And it's every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. And it's called Coach's Corner. And they just started. They've got 3 episodes in the can. Not only does it broadcast live from KSCO.com and their call sign, which I don't have the frequency for because I'm failing. Joaquin, his co-host, is going to actually be gone this week. So I'm going to fill in as Thomas's co-host on Wednesday. That's two nights from now.
Hey.
So look for me to talk about women's soccer, which I know nothing about. So it's going to be fun.
That is KSCO 1080 if you are in Santa Cruz.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ben. But so, yeah. It's going to be an interesting night.
Get the
night.
Gang back together again. It's going to be the Chad and Thomas show, by which I mean really the Thomas show featuring Chad, for about an hour. That's Wednesday, which is this coming Wednesday is, I believe, July 1st. July 1st from 8 to 9 p.m. We'll probably get a little tweet up before Chad goes on the air on that Wednesday. So, yeah, it's keep an eye out. It should be a good time. Thomas is always an interesting guy to chat with, and so I'm looking forward to checking it out.
And he was on Jeopardy and won.
His first and Thomas night he was on. Was on Jeopardy.
Well, you know, hey, look, you know, Andrew Baggerly is like very proud of that. So I gotta,
you know,
gotta put that out there.
That's fair enough.
Yeah,
it's good enough for Bags.
I couldn't win. Are you kidding me? Thomas is very good at trivia, random knowledge about things that are not useful in human life, but can win you money on a game show. So,
right.
Yeah,
that's the right. The question is, what am I doing here? All right, so we're going to go ahead and invite you to come and join Chad on KSCO this Wednesday 8 to 9. Or if you just want to keep up with the various things that we have to say about Giants baseball, you can always catch us at TortureCast Online. You can also find us on Facebook. We are, of course, the TortureCast there, so search us up. Or on iTunes or on YouTube as well. And when in doubt, just take a look at torturecast.com. We've got plenty of links up to all the various things that we do from there. Or if you just want to listen to our ridiculous things we have to say individually, you can always catch Chad at @ChadK21. I'm at Fried Duck. Or if you want our other two members who had some other things to do tonight, you can always catch Willie at @WillieDills. Or you can catch Eric at @2OutHits. We've always got some ridiculous things to say, and we're trying to say them a little more often.
Ridiculous!
Absolutely ridiculous, Moggle. We've always got some fun stuff to throw out there, and we always want to hear what you have to say about how the Giants are doing. So feel free to get at us on Twitter, on Facebook, or wherever else you find us, and we will be more than happy to get something you say on the show. Until next time, though, good luck to the Giants, good luck to you, and we'll see you next time. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.